God is not so interested in keeping the church full as he is in keeping the church pure.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you will, please. Handley Amuli confessed in his commentary on 2 Timothy that he found it difficult to read this letter, this last letter from the pen of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy, without finding something like a mist gathering in the eyes. It's a very precious word from God through a very faithful and loyal apostle. It is the last letter of a great man of God just before his execution. In fact, it may have been composed and written only hours before he died. The last word of any great man is always filled first with import and second with a certain emotion. And so we can understand the commentator when he says that he could hardly read this letter without finding something like a mist gathering in the eyes. We are to imagine, as we approach the book of 2 Timothy, we are to imagine the apostle. He's now Paul the aged, languishing in some dark, dank dungeon in Rome, from which there is no possibility of escape except by death. His own apostolic labors are over. He says, I have finished my course. But now he must make provision for the faith after he has gone, and especially for its transmission, uncontaminated. The faith is the body of truth revealed in the Scripture. It's the content of revelatory data confined to the pages of the Bible. And now Paul must make, as he faces the reality of death, he must make provision for the faith after he is gone, and especially for its transmission, uncontaminated and unalloyed to future generations. You have to admire a man like Paul. Paul is facing imminent death. He is about to be executed. He is to feel the brunt of the executioner's axe. He is to be decapitated. His head is to roll at the hands of Nero, the Roman Caesar. And yet Paul is not preoccupied with his own discomfort. Paul is not preoccupied with the sobering potential of execution. Paul is not preoccupied with his suffering surroundings, the context in which he's presently living out his life. Paul is preoccupied with one primary thing, the cause and the name of Jesus Christ. You have to admire a man like that. You know, it's the kind of spirit that you and I need to develop in our own Christian experience. And I think it's the same basic concern. He is concerned about succeeding generations. Will they have access to God's truth? Will it be uncontaminated? Will it be unalloyed? Will it be the truth in all of its verity? He is concerned about succeeding generations. You know, this church needs to be concerned about the next generation. Do you know it is the sobering and great responsibility of this local body of Christ and this pastor to see to it that in the next generation the truth can be transmitted uncontaminated, unalloyed to the succeeding generations? We have to thank God for the past generations that have provided the truth uncontaminated and unalloyed to us today. And it is our great and sobering responsibility to see that we provide that same truth uncontaminated, unalloyed for the next generation. Sometimes we're very anxious to keep the church full. We want our church to grow, and it should grow by the grace of God. But God is not so interested in keeping the church full as he is in keeping the church pure. Sometimes we're all committed to building a great big congregation. God is interested in laying a foundation that will provide the truth for the next generation. And that was the spirit of the Apostle Paul. And so he sends Timothy this most solemn charge. We call it the book of 2 Timothy. He says to Timothy that he is to preserve what he has received at whatever cost. That is our task as a church. That is my task as a pastor, as the pastor of this church. We are to preserve what we have received at whatever cost, and we are to hand it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He says that very precisely in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The result of this correspondence, the result of this communication, this communique from Paul to Timothy, is a very intimate glimpse at a very critical point in time into the lives of two very great men of God, Paul and Timothy. We have a beautiful insight into the lives of these two men. And through that insight, we can derive some very powerful principles over the course of our study that can help us to be the men and the women of God that God intended for us to be. We are introduced to two very powerful men. No two men were probably more different than these men. They were antithetical to one another in many respects. In terms of their temperament qualities and in terms of their talents, probably no two men were more different than Paul and Timothy. And yet God is so powerful, and he is so creative, and he possesses such genius that he can take a man, no matter what his temperament, and no matter what his talents, no matter what his limitations or his gifts, and he can make him a powerful vessel for his glory. And so God took Paul, and he made him a dynamic flame, a torch for Christ. And he did the same with this young man, Timothy. So we're introduced to both of these men, and we're introduced in a very special way in this opening paragraph, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, to both of these men. In particular, we are taught something in verses 1 to 7 of 2 Timothy. We are taught how each man had come to be what he was. We are taught how God molds and fashions his men, how he molds and fashions his women into Christ-likeness and into the powerful vessels and tools that he intends for them to be. Every person should have a hunger in his heart to be all that God intended for him to be. Every one of you should have an insatiable appetite and unquenchable thirst to realize all of the potential that God placed down within you when he made you his child, when you became his son or daughter. He came to live within you personally, and he brought with him unlimited, unconquerable potential. And every one of us should have a desire to allow that potential to come to the surface and be usable and functional in the hands of God. Every one of us should have a desire to allow God to mold and fashion us into that precise personality and being, tool and vessel that he intended for us to be. We have two very classic examples of that in verses 1 to 7. Now, the first is this. Maybe you'll want the outline, then we'll look at it as quickly as we can here in the next few moments. First, I see here Paul, the apostolic servant. And I see three ingredients that God used to mold and fashion him into a man of God in verse 1. And that's going to be the substance of our study in just a moment. Paul, the apostolic servant, verse 1. That's Roman numeral 1. And then secondly, I see beyond that, Timothy, the apostolic son. Paul, the apostolic servant, Timothy, the apostolic son. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I see how God molded and fashioned Timothy into the man of God that he became. Actually, I see two things there. In verse 2, in terms of Timothy, the apostolic son, in verse 2, I see the ultimate source of his fashioning. He became a son of Paul only in the sense that he became a son of God. He was saved. That's the ultimate source of Timothy's fashioning. He became a son of God through the witness of the Apostle Paul. And he was fed a trilogy of divine attributes. Grace, mercy, and peace made him all that God intended for him to be. So one, the ultimate source of his fashioning, he became a son of God. Secondly, I see there, and this will be the substance of future studies, the unfolding source of his fashioning. And that's in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And there are four beautiful things that God used in this unfolding source of Timothy's fashioning, four beautiful things that God used to make him the man of God that he ought to be. Here they are, just an outline. One, his parental upbringing, verse 5. His grandmother and his mother and the godly influence that they had over him. There are many principles there. His parental upbringing. Two, his spiritual friendship. The Apostle Paul provided him with conversion and consolidation in the Christian experience. Two, his spiritual friendship. It's amazing the power of friendships in molding and fashioning our lives. And then thirdly, his special endowment. Verses 6 and 7. He was given a ministry gift. which provided him with competency, and he was given an energy gift, which provided him with courage, and then finally, his own personal discipline. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And that provided for him a certain level of credibility. Now, that's the outline of the material, and we'll be developing that over the next several sessions together. Let's look at verse 1. Paul, the apostolic servant. You know, in fashioning the Apostle Paul into all that he intended for him to be, God had given him three things. You may want to jot these down. These are the things I see in verse 1. What do you see as you look at that verse? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. As I look at that verse, I see three powerful things, three powerful ingredients that God used to fashion and mold the Apostle Paul into the man of God that he wanted to be. And in essence, are the same kinds of things that can fashion and mold you and me. The first thing I see is a divine mission. God gave to Paul a sense of divine mission. Paul said, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is, in one sense, a missionary. Now, I know there's a technical sense of the term, and I'm going to deal with the subject in a general way. In a technical sense, an apostle is one specially chosen by God who has seen the risen Christ and probably witnessed his miracles while he was here on earth. Apostles were a band of men who were the revelatory organs of God in the first century, and the word of God came through them. We don't have apostles in that sense today. We have no technical apostles today. The apostles were, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 20, along with the prophets, for the foundation of the church, and the foundation has been laid, and there are no more apostles in the technical sense. But in a general sense, they are. There's a general sense in which every one of us can be the apostoloi, the apostles of Jesus Christ, the sent ones of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a mission. And when a man is consumed with that mission, when a man understands what his mission is, when a man understands that he has a certain destiny that other men do not have on this globe, you know what that does? That molds him. It fashions him into God-likeness. So God gave to Paul, one, a divine mission, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then, two, God gave to Paul a divine mandate, a divine command, a divine ultimatum, an official order from the supreme commander of the universe. He gave him a mandate. It was by the will of God. He didn't pick this mission. He didn't choose it personally. It was by the will of God. And when you realize that what you're doing is in the very center and heart of God's will, it's a product of the mandate, the ultimatum, the command of God. When you realize you are, in the truest sense of the term, God's servant, that brings a dimension of meaning and power down into your life. It's that kind of thing that molds and fashions a man. And then God gave to the Apostle Paul a divine message. This mission, which was mandated by God, involved in it, the proclamation of a message, and that message is called the promise of life. You see it in verse 1? The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.